10:35, Earl Brooker in for Jerry Bader on the Jerry Bader Show. And as usual, time just flies. Wow. So we'll try to cover some more aspects of things I teased earlier this morning. I mentioned that the Democrats have, when you sitting in the producer chair, I get to hear calls like this all the time that say, hey, you know, the Democrats are always unified. They always show a steady front. The Republicans fight amongst themselves. Why can't the Republicans just have that unified front and just get behind the president, get behind this, get behind that? And that question is raised, and, well, there may be a crack in the armor, as they say. This story is about Nancy Pelosi. Democrat John Ossoff finished behind Republican Karen Handel in Georgia's special House election on Tuesday night, but the real loser could turn out to be House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Now, while Pelosi is in no immediate danger of losing her House perch, she's increasingly becoming the face of a period of Democratic stagnation that's seen a once mighty majority systematically deteriorate during her tenure. I think you'd have to be an idiot to think we could win the House with Pelosi at the top. That from Representative Philemon Vila, a Democrat from Texas, bluntly told Politico. Nancy Pelosi is not the only reason that Ossoff lost, but she certainly is one of the reasons. As Speaker of the House in 2009, Pelosi presided over a 255-seat majority, which was wiped out by the next election when Democrats fell to 193 seats. In three election cycles since then, Pelosi's party has netted a single House seat. Those seeking to be part of the next Democratic majority are already seeking separation from Pelosi. Democrat Joe Cunningham, running to on-seat Republican Mark Sanford in South Carolina, tweeted soon after announcing his candidacy, quote, if elected, I will not vote for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker. Time to move forward and win again. And those calls are coming from Washington, D.C., too. Representative Kathleen Rice, Democrat from New York, told CNN, we need a leadership change. It's time for Nancy Pelosi to go and the entire leadership team. Representative Tim Ryan, Democrat from Ohio, who ran against Pelosi in the last leadership election, didn't invoke his former rival by name, but did by association, saying the Democratic product has grown spoiled and rotten in recent years. And here is the truth. The Democratic Party has a toxic brand, one that is worse than Donald Trump's in many parts of the country, Ryan wrote in a Medium post. Pelosi is an undeniably tough spot. Her longevity and leadership position makes her tough to unseat. However, it also makes her a target for the more progressive wing of her party that is upset with those in so-called establishment posts. And her unpopularity with Republicans of conservative and moderate stripes has made her an easy anchor to tie Democratic candidates to non-competitive races. I hope they keep Nancy for 10 more years, at least another decade, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich told Fox and Friends on Thursday. We have all the ads done. They worked perfectly in Georgia. We know how to run against a Nancy Pelosi-run party. So it sounds like, you know, that Newt Gingrich was the only quote from a Republican in that story. The Democrats, there might be a crack in the armor. If you'd like to offer your thoughts, please do. 920-406-1360, 888-455-1360. Again, 920-406-1360, 888-455-1360. If you'd like to comment on the state of the Democrats, and apparently they may not be as unified as has been in the past. Pelosi was first elected in 1987 from her California district, has sought to stop the landslide beneath her feet by emphasizing the positive takeaways from the highly competitive Georgia race, which Democrats poured money and time into in hopes of dealing President Trump a high-profile defeat. And it's one of those things that every one of these races that have taken place for Congress, the narrative either from the Democrats or from the media has been, huh, it's a referendum on Donald Trump. And they're 0-4. Yeah, they have not won one of those special elections. And therefore, it very well may be time to change their positioning and posturing, and Nancy Pelosi could fall victim to that. We'll wait and see what happens. From Howard Kurtz, the media buzz, Chris Murphy, this is a related story, a Democrat senator from Connecticut, made some candid comments that caught his eye yesterday. When he's back home, Murphy said he sometimes chats people up on a commuter bus. And, quote, they are never talking about issues like Russia. They are not talking, frankly, what's on cable news at night. And then in the Morning Joe interview, he took a whack at his own party. Quote, the fact that we have spent so much time talking about Russia has been a distraction from what should be the clear contrast between Democrats and the Trump agenda, which is on economics. Running mainly against Donald Trump didn't work for the Dems in 2016, and it's not working now, according to Kurtz. The news peg for these recriminations, of course, is the Democrats losing Tuesday's special election for that House seat in Georgia. I never spent much time on the race because I never believed that John Ossoff, despite raising $25 million, was going to win in a heavily Republican district that he didn't even live in. But since the media collectively declared it a referendum on Trump and would have gone haywire if Ossoff had won, there is a reckoning about what the Democrat Party stands for. Ohio Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan told the New York Times that his party is, quote, toxic in large swaths of the country. Our brand is worse than Trump. We can't even run against Trump. The president, for his part, tweeted that the special elections are over and those that want to make America great again are 5-0. All the fake news, all the money spent equals zero. Leave it to Donald Trump to put a bow on it, right? But kind of fascinating that there, like I said, may be some cracks in the armor on the Democratic Party. What do you think? Do you think it's just a situation where they'll just continue to keep it on? Or is it a situation where they need to make some major changes in order to regain the strength of the Democratic Party? 920-406-1360, 888-455-1360. And I think Kyle's going to have a call for us here in just a second before I move on to this professor who is just a piece of work. I mean, there's no other way to describe it, but a professor had a profane anti-white message that is causing controversy at this particular campus. We'll get to that in just a moment. Tim in Lublin. Good morning, Tim.
Well, hello, Earl. Always good to talk to you when you fill in on Wednesdays with Earl. Is that going to be a regular feature?
Well, it's a Thursday, but we
Thursday, yeah.
it varies. It occasionally, it's the occasional producer moving over here and being able to talk a little louder than he can on the phone.
So you get to be Doc Severinsen filling in for Ed McMahon when Johnny takes the day off.
There right? you go. There okay. you go.
I think I've asked this before, but I don't think I've ever heard you say, because you're normally on the other side of the glass, but how much of a parallel or in a microcosm do you see between what's going on nationwide with the Democrats doing nothing more of saying, hate Trump, and not coming up with any ideas, and what happened here in Wisconsin? We just marked the five-year anniversary of the recall with the whole fight for over Act 10, the whole protesting, the everything else that went on. It almost seems like what happened here in Wisconsin was a microcosm of what's occurring now.
And, well, Timmy, I would say that, yeah, you probably could compare that. I would also, you could compare it on the national level with the Republicans when they were in the minority. They became, you get a label of being the party of no.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously took place. And the Democrats find themselves in the minority. And as you stated, don't have, you know, ideas to fix things. They have their old ideas to, you know, let's do what we were doing because it works so well.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got that mode of operation. Plus, you've also got sort of a role reversal. It just seems funny to me that a group that has stood firmly together is now kind of like, yeah, I don't know so much if we're going the right direction. And, you know, all the talk of Russia and the collusion, and, yeah, it makes great stories in the media, but is that what the normal average American is talking about? And that's what I think it's missed in politics a lot, is there can be lots of dust, but if there's nothing behind that dust, eventually the public gets themselves tired of it and just like, can you talk about the issues? And I think that's where we might be right now.
I agree. I'll let you move on to other callers, but one other question, if I could. I want to get either yours or Jerry's opinion on this, but the other day here in Wausau, where you heard on SAU locally, Chris Connolly, actually, I thought made what I thought was a good idea. I want to see what you thought of it. As far as the whole Russia thing goes, Trump should come out and say to Mueller, say, all right, you've been looking at this, and you found nothing. I'll tell you what you do. You can investigate it, but you got a deadline like we have in the private sector. You get 1 month to finish this up, and at the end of that month, you give us your conclusion. I'm not going to just give you an endless period of time to dig and dig and dig and find nothing.
Well, it sounds like Chris has a great idea. No, I would agree that the thing is what happens with these investigations, mm-hmm. and people sometimes forget they start at one point, and they just kind of have spiders that go out from what that original investigation is. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to investigate somebody, investigate them for what you're investigating, not what you might find.
Exactly.
And I think that that's where this investigation has ended up at this point in time is, you know, hey, we haven't found anything yet. No one says they've seen anything yet. And people need to get over this whole influence in the election, because everybody's confusing influence for changing votes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When you have a candidate that comes and knocks on your door, he's trying to influence the election.
Exactly.
He or she is trying to influence the election. They're trying to get you to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Russia's no different. They're going to interfere and try to influence for whatever reason and for whatever end. I don't know, but the fact is that they are doing it, and that is just the reality of living in today's world. Get over it.
Exactly. And I mean, and then one last thing is, if you're talking about influence, don't forget, who was it that sent his team of crack campaign consultants over to Israel to influence the election to try to get rid of Netanyahu?
That wouldn't have been President Obama, would it have been, Tim?
Oh, no. Not at all.
I don't remember hearing a lot of stories about that.
Me neither.
Thank you, Tim, for the call. And Tom in Rhinelander. Good morning, Tom.
Morning. Yeah, no, I don't think the liberals are ever going to change. First off, they think they're mentally superior to everyone else, so they're always going to be right, and everybody else is going to be wrong. And with the Russian thing, yeah, that should be investigating, but they're investigating the wrong person. Hillary signed off on 20% of the uranium. Bill goes over to Moscow, makes a speech for $500,000. Then the bank donates several million to Hillary's campaign, and then Podesta's brother is an agent for the bank who bought the uranium. Then they smash cell phones, bleach their emails. How come there's no... And they're investigating Trump. I don't understand this.
I hear you, Tom. Thanks a lot for the phone call. He did a pretty extensive list there of things that went on. It's just amazing to me that they continue with the folks that are saying there's nothing here, but let's keep looking. And I think that that's a great idea as far as having a deadline saying, okay, you know, you've been looking at this for, 9 months, almost a year? Okay, you've got till, I'll give them till the end of summer, August 31st, boom. You either come up with something or we're done, because we're not going to waste the time doing this if you have nothing. So we'll see how that all shapes up. Also want to share this real quickly, and then I've got to get to those two fun stories that I promised to share. A Connecticut college, I'm just going to share this, not looking for comments on it. A Connecticut college is facing national outrage after a professor posted a series of Facebook messages attacking white people, along with a link to an essay that suggested first responders to last week's congressional shootings should have, quote, let the lawmakers effing die. Are you kidding me? Trinity College professor Johnny Eric Williams also reportedly shared an essay posted on Medium that included a photograph of Majority Leader Steve Scalise titled, Let Them Effing Die. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. It is 10:50. I'm Earl Brooker in for Jerry Bader on The Jerry Bader Show. Hey, what do we got coming up? Sex! You don't want to leave for that.
The Jerry Bader Show.